From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with Paul's first epistle to Timothy, part of this series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. In those very early days, error was already beginning to creep into the churches because of false teachers. So Paul wrote to instruct pastors as to how the church was to be guided and guarded as to be a good witness for Jesus Christ in an age of apostasy. Paul exhorted young Timothy to keep that which is committed to your trust. In other words, he was speaking of guarding a deposit, which is nothing less than the content of the gospel, which Paul defines as the mystery of godliness, the message of grace, and the mediation of Christ with God. Paul commanded Timothy to beware of those who would water down or seek to redefine the doctrines of the gospel, a warning which is also needed in our day. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly with the next portion of a message called The Church, the Pillar and Ground of the Truth. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Dwelling Safely Apart. The text is Deuteronomy 33, verse 28. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. The more we dwell alone, the more safe shall we be. God would have his people separate from sinners. His call to them is, Come ye out from among them. A Christian world is such a monstrosity as the Scriptures never contemplate. A worldly Christian is spiritually diseased. Those who compromise with Christ's enemies may be reckoned with them. Our safety lies not in making terms with the enemy, but in dwelling alone with our best friend. If we do this, we shall dwell in safety, despite the sarcasms, the slanders, and the sneers of the world. We shall be safe from the baleful influence of its unbelief, its pride, its vanity, its filthiness. God also will make us dwell in safety alone in that day when sin shall be visited on the nations by wars and famines. The Lord brought Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, but he stopped halfway. He had no blessing till, having set out to go to the land of Canaan, to the land of Canaan he came. He was safe alone, even in the midst of foes. Lot was not safe in Sodom, though in a circle of friends. Our safety is in dwelling apart with God.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we thank you for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email or by regular mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
This mystery of godliness, this glorious gospel of the blessed God, is a message of grace, because he says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have talked to you about his coming into the world. Now here's the purpose. He says this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. This word is true. What is this true word? Christ Jesus came into the world. There's the incarnation again. But here's the purpose. He came into the world to save sinners. It's addressed to sinners, this message of grace. The message of God's grace does not tell you what you've got to become before God will accept you. The message of God's grace comes to you, addressing you as you are, where you are, in all your sin, in all your misery, in all your failure, in all your need. It says you have tried and you have failed. And the more you try, the more you feel. And the more religious you become, the more rotten you become on the inside. You know it, I know it. There's no way out of that impasse unless God comes to you and says, I have a message that is not conditioned upon you making yourself better. It's not conditioned upon you paying or you doing. It is a message addressed to you where you are, as you are. It's a message that Christ Jesus came into this world not to help sinners save themselves, not to bolster their efforts, but to save them. He has the power to do that. That's why he came into the world. The message of grace. Ah, my friend, if you're in this meeting this morning and you're still in your sin, you're without God, without Christ, and without hope, I want to tell you,
Jesus Christ came to save sinners just like you, and Jesus Christ has saved sinners just like you, and Jesus Christ will save you also as you come to God through him. I say that because in chapter 2, Paul adds the third strand to this great teaching, the contempt of the deposit, because he says in verse 5, there is one God. There is one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God and one mediator. The question is now, here am I a sinner. In the depths of my degradation and sin and shame and debauchery. And there is God in the throne of his holiness. How can I ever have communion with God? How can I ever be brought into a living fellowship with the living God? How can I ever come near without being destroyed with the fury of his wrath and the fire of his holiness? The answer is through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator. Here you see the beauty of the gospel. He is God and therefore satisfies God. He is man and therefore can stand in the place of men. As a man, he took our place, paid our debt, fully wrought out the righteousness which God demanded, putting his hand upon the throne of God and his hand upon the head of the sinner. He can reconcile God and man in himself. The God-man, Jesus Christ, is the mediator between God and man. Now, my friend, that is the great heart of the teaching. That is the content of this gospel, this deposit. Then he talks about the faith. Now, the faith we could take as the conviction about this deposit. In other words, when Paul talks about the faith, he's not talking about these things as a matter of doubt or debate. C.H. Spurgeon used to say that he didn't bother answering many of the positions of infidels in his preaching for the simple reason that he didn't believe the Christian pulpit should be used as a place to discuss the doubts of men. It's a place to declare the truths of the gospel. And there's a large measure of truth in what the great Baptist preacher said. You see, Paul says this is the faith. This is a matter that is surely believed on the authority of the revelation of God. But the faith, that which is believed, obviously, is saying the deposit is received as a personal conviction by faith wrought in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You see, this is another strand. The way to Christ is not by works. The way to Christ is not by money. The way to Christ is not by sacraments. The way to Christ is by faith. These are the things that are most surely believed among us. They are convictions wrought by the revelation of God's truth in the heart. And then, of course, he speaks of the godliness. Four times in chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 6, he speaks of the godliness. This is the consequence of this gospel deposit. The gospel produces real holiness of life. Nothing else can, by the way. Men can clean up their lives. But real holiness is produced only by the gospel. But I want you to notice that it is always the consequence of the gospel. In other words, and I have to be very blunt with you here, anything else is a counterfeit. If you have a religion that leaves you as ungodly and unholy and unchanged as you ever were, then your religion is not the gospel. It's as simple as that. We're living in a day when in fundamental churches. They're making it a point of orthodoxy to say you don't need to have a change of life to be able to say you're saved. You're saved by faith, and that faith does not necessarily lead to a change of life. Your repentance is just a mental decision, and it doesn't necessarily lead to a change of life. My friend, if that were the truth, you'd have to throw out half of your New Testament. The consequence of the gospel received in the heart is godliness. The deposit is the teaching. That is called the faith that produces the godliness. And anything else is a counterfeit. Now, this is to be our definition of the truth. We must know this before we can ever stand up for it. Now, what I'm saying today is a far cry from what, quotes, the evangelicals are up to. It used to be the name evangelical. It was one of the most prized and beautiful titles that any man or group of men could have. Now it has been dragged in the muck and the mire of sin and wickedness and worldliness and compromise to such an extent that I'm almost ashamed to use it. I always would have to use some other definitions along with it to limit its meaning. Evangelicals today, I have their books in my library. Evangelicals today, some of them call themselves new evangelicals. Others call themselves young evangelicals. Others call themselves radical evangelicals. The truth is, they're just a bunch of old-time modernists dressed up as evangelicals. And what they are doing, really, I have more respect for the devil, C.H. Spurgeon said, than I have for the Pope or for a priest, because at least the devil doesn't profess to forgive sin. Well, I would say I have more respect for the devil than for these so-called evangelicals. Let me tell you how they operate. They come to people like you and me to put us off guard and say, oh, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Sounds good, doesn't it? It is the inerrant Word of God. Now, I put it to you, as far as words mean anything, that means the Bible is given by the inspiration of God. And when you go to the Greek and Hebrew scriptures, what God says is infallibly and without error true. Okay? That's what the words mean. But then you read a little further. And they say, but we have to redefine what we mean by infallibility. We've got to redefine what we mean by inerrancy. And when you read on a little bit more, you come to the conclusion that inerrancy means, well, it has some errors, but we can identify and get rid of them and get around them. I would tell you that any honest man couldn't take that position. It cannot be honest. They're redefining inerrancy. They're redefining the gospel. They're redefining what a Christian church is. Billy Graham's in Moscow. He's very big with the Russian Orthodox Church. To use Dr. Graham's own words, the Russian Orthodox Church is a church that doesn't have, the people don't have any personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What he's saying is it's not Christian. Oh, but that's not what he's saying, you see. Because all the people who come out, he sends them back to the Russian Orthodox Church. If that's where they're from, he sends them back to their own church. Redefining what a church is, redefining what a Christian is, redefining what the Bible is. This is what the evangelicals are doing today. Then, of course, we see it in the area of church growth. We're living in the age of the mega church. Everybody wants to be able to say ours is the biggest church, or the biggest Sunday school, or the fastest growing church. It must be the something-est in the world. I don't know what it is in this part of the world that people have a fascination with being the biggest, the greatest, the first, or something in the world. I always laugh when I went up to Hendersonville. I saw that huge store called The World of Clothing. Well, I'm sure it could well be if the place is so vast. But then I look around the corner and I see this. Well, I'll be nice to it. It's a 41st rate little second-hand car lot. And it is Car World. I mean, everything has to be the biggest and best, even though your world doesn't stretch beyond the end of your nose. Well, there's this fascination in churches as well. What do? How do you get this church growth? Well, you do a survey. Surveys you're in. And you bring in the demographic experts. Just the same as if you were setting up a business. A demographic survey. Then you find out what kind of people are there. You find out what their needs are. You find out what their desires are, what their likes and their dislikes are, and then you tailor your church program around all that. The fastest growing church in America is outside Chicago and Illinois, and it has done all this. It has its drama groups constantly running plays instead of preaching. It has its rock groups. It has its self-esteem sessions. It has everything that the people want. Another big mega church down in Texas. It has its health spa. It has its weight room. It has everything else. Now, that wouldn't be so bad. One of our folks was telling me here that he listened to somebody from one of these mega churches and saying, all that they have, this is wonderful. This is evangelical Christianity nowadays. Of course, we're not big in that God stuff. What? We don't like all that God talk. But we have a great church. I was reading what Chuck Colson said in the latest Christianity Today. Now, I quote Chuck Colson not as an evangelical authority. He's an evangelical with quotes around him, in my book. And I quote him because he is not a raving fundamentalist by any means. He's a large article going through these churches with all this and saying, yes, the thousands are there. People are not being fed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doctrine is out. Doctrine is out in evangelicalism mostly today. He quotes researchers, worldly researchers, who have gone around Christian bookstores. The things that are selling are what they call the touchy-feely stuff. But the serious exposition of the Word, missionary biography, and especially books that call for self-denial, are gathering dust in the shelves. Very small minority of people reads that. Doctrine's out with everything that flows from it. That's where evangelicalism has got to today. You see, they have redefined what the truth is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.